Let us tell love is love. The Lord reigns. Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
We are so glad to be back. We did some church work and we did some missions work, and if you will, call it missions work. We got involved with working with horses and doing what's called equine learning. So now my job was still here. I was still working remotely, but our kids were out on a small ranch out there. It was about 40 acres and a bunch of horses. And so we got to do some working with people that had trauma, had experienced really hard things in life, and just allow them to sense and understand the presence of God and learn to hear God's voice working with horses. It's fantastic. So did some ministry, had, you know, church out there, did baptisms, and we had an amazing time. So glad to be back, glad to see you guys. And it's amazing. You guys look fantastic. You guys should give yourself a hand for that. I don't know. Give Jesus a hand. I mean, Amen. He's sustained you pretty well. Amen. Well, most of you. There's a couple. No. That's terrible. Anyway, so you see our kids are stretched out a little bit. So are some of your kids. These guys are huge. Fantastic. Yeah. So we're blessed to be back. We were specifically called back. And the Lord put Fort Pierce, like, right in front of us. And interestingly, there's a few other families randomly that we know came back at the same time. Hmm. And the other night, I was in Walmart, and some guy, I was chatting, John and I, my older son here, were just walking through, and this gentleman was saying something to somebody else about Jesus. And he said something about, I don't know, being a king or something of the Most High God. And I said, Amen. It was late. We had just pulled the horse in. It was almost 11, and we were just grabbing some things. And so then I got his attention. So now I'm on his radar. So he and I start chatting. And the lady that he was talking to, then I guess I was an escape plan for her because she got away. So now I'm chatting. But we had an amazing time in God. So he starts talking about some things and then prayed for us. And it was an amazing blessing. But I started praying. And I started praying for the glory of the Lord to rise up in this place. And there was such what we would call unction on that prayer. There was such an inspiration, if you will, knowing God is doing something in the Treasure Coast. And we were saying that righteousness would be restored and that glory would actually come from this area. We were talking about Fort Pierce, but the Treasure Coast at large, and that righteousness will be restored in the governmental bodies, in the entertainment industry, the sports industry, every major hill. God is doing something in this region. Amen. Because Amen. He drug us out of Colorado a little bit kicking and streaming. We were liking it there in some ways. But listen, we want to be obedient. But we were enjoying being there. We were blessed to have that assignment for a few years. And to come back, we said, okay, Father, we know this area. We have wonderful friends here. And so, but there's a purpose. God is doing something here. And so we're seeing people being drawn back to this area, Christian people who love Jesus, who are ready to see transformation to take place in business, in all the areas, education. So we're trusting with you that God is doing something marvelous in this area. And so if you've done this for a while and you haven't had a chance to leave and come back, I would encourage you to get on the edge of your seat and stay expecting. Mm-hmm. What's that? Steady, fervent, expectant gaze. Do you want to share that? Something? Whatever you
can share. Sure. That's the part when Moses put the serpent on the pole, and he said, the serpents were biting all the camp and they were dying. Mm-hmm. But he put a serpent on the pole, and he said, if those who look at this will live. But that word look means steady, expectant, absorbent gaze. In other words, I'm going to look and not look away. No matter what happens on the right hand or on my left hand, that's the thing I know holds my salvation and my redemption. So I'm going to lock eyes with that, and I'm not going to let go. That's what he's talking about. Yeah. So this kind of came up in my heart. It really just is what Pastor started to say. It really just doesn't matter what happened yesterday. And oftentimes, I feel like this happens. When we're considering what's coming in the future, we can get nervous. We can feel uneasy about what's coming. But often that's because we don't take the presence of God with us. We go in our intellect. We go from our past experiences. We go from emotions. And we look ahead at how and what is coming our way. Instead of remembering, God's been faithful every step of the journey up to this point. So that means he's going to remain faithful. I think it was, I'm not going to say who said this, but because I may misquote it, but there was a missionary woman who met somebody on her journeys, and he said, "Will you pray for me, and please pray for me to have clarity?" And she giggled and said, "Well, I won't pray for that, but what I will pray for is that you have an increase of trust in God, because clarity has only ever gotten me a little step of the journey, and trust in God has never left, and he has always been faithful." So I thought that was pretty good.
Amen. Good.
So we're working with the kids. The kids are going to all be homeschooled. Still, again, we're going to connect with another classical conversation we've always done. But the thing that I wanted to share about what we're going to be doing with the horses is what's been beautiful with using the horses is it causes people to be present, which is kind of what goes along with what I just said. It causes people to take a deep breath because there's big animals right in front of you. And so the only way to really stay safe is to be present and be aware. And that is where God meets us every single time. It's when we become aware of where we are right now. Not who we want to be, not who we were, but who we are right this second. And it doesn't matter if that's a mess or if that is all put together. He is smack dab ready to meet you, because you know what? He left a throne that was perfect, and he entered a world that was full of imperfectness. And he came for me when I was a mess and broken and nothing was right with me. Yeah. And he showed up on the scene so much so that he came, he died, and then he sent a Holy Ghost to live inside an imperfect vessel. Aren't you glad?
Hallelujah.
It's such a good thing. I was working alongside a lady at the ranch. She had lost her two children and her husband to the same thing. It was a genetic issue they didn't know they had.
Imagine that.
And so, two-year-olds not together, just consecutively, and her husband, very big thing. And she didn't wear it on her sleeve, so that kind of rolled out through time of me being there. And I just kept saying, "I'm so thankful for who you are. I'm so thankful you're still standing." Every opportunity I had, I didn't preach to her. I would just say, "My goodness gracious, how are you smiling?" I gave her space to be right where she was. And she evidently had some major questions, despite being raised in a Christian home and living beside her Christian mother. She had real questions, as we may all have questions, right? Yeah. And we had this encounter, this just random horse. It's really a fun version of spending time with Jesus. And she got so located because it was
praise
present,
God.
Right? And she just said this when she came back. She rededicated her life and gave her heart back to Jesus, and she said, crying as I was leaving, and she goes, "Alexa, I'm just so thankful. I never thought I was good enough to become a Christian, and then I met you, and I realized anyone could." So, but what I heard in that is I'm not, our heart is to tell anybody that they have what it takes today to be in a perfect, right relationship with That's the good. God who loves them and has That's given good. Everything for them.
That's good. Well, shall we go home now? I mean, welcome Joe and Alexa back. We love you guys so much, and so glad that Joe would take the time to help us out with some of our things and serve on our board as an elder and come in by internet and speak to us on occasion, and that's all been awesome. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Years ago, God dealt with me a very strong word that in the last days, the miraculous would be the currency of the church. That the church would not be looking to the government, would not be looking to our own savings, we would not be looking to our doctors, we would not be looking to man, but the miraculous power of God activated in our individual life would be released in a consistent and a powerful way so that the God that we serve would be visible to those who do not yet know Him. I do not believe Satan owns the stage. I believe God is sovereign in the heavens and sovereign on the earth. I do not believe that Satan is going to get to thumb his nose at the Lord and say, there's more on my team than on your team. I really like what Reinhard Bonnke said when he put the book out, Plundering Hell to Populate Heaven, that God is not a loser and God is at work on behalf of His people. And I fully anticipate that day where our faith is elevated to a level to where we do not let the enemy get by with anything around us. But we take authority and walk in that authority, exercise that authority in the name of Jesus. Y'all still with me? Here we are, the assistant. Oh, my Lord, what will we do now? He cried out to Elisha. And that is going to be the only response unless the power of the Holy Spirit is activated in our life and in the body of Christ, because we're going to face things that there is not an answer in the flesh. We will not have the means to respond, whether it's financial, whether it has to do with our relationships, whether it has to do with our families. We need the power of God activated, and we have access. Oh, my Lord, what will we do? What will we do? He cried out to Elisha. I've been in some prayer meetings like that. It was as if God was either on vacation. It would almost sounded like a Baal prayer meeting, crying out to God. Now, I understand we can cry, we can be broken, we can be burdened in the spirit. But what I'm saying is, when we come to our God, please do not think that God does not want to hear you and you somehow have to scream louder to get His attention. Oh my, I went down to Palm Beach Gardens. Little frail lady was down there. I'd got the call. She's on a machine. The machine is doing nothing. She's dead, really. But the family's not all here, so just pumping air into her. I'm driving to North Palm Beach, and while I'm driving, the father said, "Why are you going down here?" And I had to think not very long. I said, "Because that's what pastors do. Somebody's in the hospital. She's dying. Family's going to be there. I want to be there, Father." He said, "But why are you going? What are you going to say?" And when God asks me a question like that, I already learned. I just say, "I don't know. Why am I going and what am I going to say?" And so God says, "You're going to tell him that she's not going to die." She's not going to die. I said, "Father, they told me she's already dead. She's just on a machine, all curled up, fetal position, lost weight. She was never a large lady, but she may have weighed 60 pounds, maybe, wasted away to nothing." And the father said, "You're going to tell the family that she's not going to die." I arrived. They were in a private room. The room was full of family members. And as I stepped into the room and I looked at them, many of them I'd never seen before, and the Holy Spirit is saying to me, "Tell them, tell them, tell them." I think God's going to want some of us to start speaking up a little more than we've been speaking up. Some people don't have the activated faith yet. They just need maybe your faith and the hope that you have, maybe the experience of your life to just share that. And so God may be saying to someone, maybe to all of us here today, that we need to lose our fear of God not being able to handle His end of the bargain. But I'll tell you, I was kind of quaking. I'd already said, "Lord, I don't know about this family." And when I looked around the room, I'm like, okay. And then I realized I'm with a lot of unbelievers. There were a couple believers in the room, but most of them, they were not born-again believers. They're family members. And so I did what God said. I told them. I said, "She's not going to die. God's going to raise her up." "Oh, my. Oh, thank you, Pastor, for coming. It's so nice that you came down." "No, your mom's not going to die. God's going to raise her up." "Well, thank you very much. We're waiting on one more family member. You know, tonight they pull the plug. You know, this is it. The plane's arriving any time." And at that point, I felt motivated to go find the lady to pray for her. Wasn't having much success with them. So they said, "Well, yeah, you can go on in there, but, you know, don't be shocked. You know, she's all in a little spot. Nobody's around her because there's nothing anybody could do for days." And so I went in to see this little lady, and she's all curled up, and machines are just going, psh, psh. You've been maybe in a hospital room like that. I went over. I have my oil. I lay hands on. I'm expecting a Jesus resurrection moment. And I pray over this lady. I'm expecting bells to go off, whistles to happen, people to come running. I'm telling you seriously, I expected all that. And you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing. So I prayed a little louder just to tell you I've done it too. I thought maybe I didn't say the right thing, you know. What is the formula? Listen, it's not a formula. It's you and me believing God, regardless of what we see with our eyes. And it's so easy to be distracted. And I believe someone, probably not in this room because you all are advanced, but maybe in our listening audience, maybe on radio, maybe someone that's going to be viewing live stream or even later, needs to know today that what you see with your eyes cannot be trusted when it comes in opposition to the working and the will and the purposes of God. You need to remember, I need to remember that all things are possible with God. So I prayed a little longer and nothing happened, and I walked out of that room, and I really didn't want to go in and face the family again, but they were down the hall and they were close to where I had to go out, and I went back in with the family. And what do you think the Holy Spirit says? Tell them again. Tell them again. So I went back in the room. Now my hands are sweaty and I'm kind of tingling all over. And the Holy Spirit says, tell them again. I said, you know, your mom is not going to die. God's going to raise her up. God told me to tell you that God is going to raise your mom up. And I left that night. Didn't hear anything through the night. Come daylight the next morning, I put a call into the hospital, and the family answered the phone and said, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, well, what happened? Well, sometime during the night, I left about 11 o'clock that night, between 11 and 12, but sometime during the night, something happened to Laura Hamilton. Her family might be listening this morning. I want to remind you that what happened that night was God, had nothing to do with me. I was just a mouth. Maybe you're just a mouth. Don't worry about how great your faith is. Remember how great your God is. This is hope in the Lord, but it's not hoping and wishing God will do something. It's knowing that God is going to do something. And so they said, yes, sometime during the night, mom had a major turnaround. Well, what does that mean? Well, she's sitting up right now eating her breakfast. Hallelujah. Laura Hamilton came out of Palm Beach Gardens Hospital, came back, and I don't know how many years she was in our church before she went to be with the Lord. And I loved it on Sunday mornings to look out and see Laura Hamilton, and the Lord would remind me, Jonathan, I want you to remember what I have done that you've seen with your eyes, so you never question what I'm up to. The thief has come, what? Help me out. The thief has come to still kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life. Look at this. Look at this. The servant, the assistant, sees the horses, the chariots, the troops, and he says, what will we do now? What will we do now? We're going to do now what we've done before. We're going to trust God. Yeah, I'm talking about my son, Andrew Michael. I'm talking about Jody. I'm talking about our kids that need to come to Jesus. I'm talking about the resources for the property. I'm talking about our state. I'm talking about our president. What are we going to do now? We're going to call those things that are not as though they already are. And we're going to trust the God that does what we cannot do. And we're going to commit ourselves fully into His hands. Yeah, we're going to trust God. That's what we're going to do. We are trusting God. So Elisha says, let's get rid of the spirit of fear. It always comes to kill your hope. It hinders your eyesight. It blocks your ability to discern what God's up to, that spirit of fear. So let's deal with that. Don't be afraid. For there are more. Not there could be. There are more with us than be with them. We need to say that as a family. There's more with us than be with them. God's team is the winning team. We are on the winning team. There's more with us than be with them. And the servant is looking at them and he's not seeing any of the more. Because he has a them mentality. He has a natural mentality. He had eyes like I have. He was discerning everything in the natural. But his spiritual eyes were not focusing. And so Elisha prays, oh Lord, open his eyes, let him see. Elisha is praying, open his eyes, let him see. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you would do that for every one of us, wherever we are and whatever we're facing, whatever's going on in our life, that you would open our spiritual eyes a little wider. Father, if we have that spiritual condition where our eyelids have sagged down to where our vision is greatly hampered and hindered in the spirit, I ask you that you would surgically, spiritually remove anything that's standing in the way and open our spiritual eyes so we can see you at work. Oh Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Let him see. Prayer that I pray often for people that are close to going home to glory is, Father, let them see into their forwarding address. Open their eyes. Let them see. And I've stood by the bed of wonderful saints that have said, Pastor, do you hear the singing? No, sorry, I don't hear. Oh, Pastor, you've got to hear. It's the most beautiful song I've ever heard in my life. Pastor, surely you can hear. No, I can't hear. Pastor, do you see the gardens? Look at the gardens. No, I don't see the gardens. And they go on and on and on, sometimes for hours, talking about what they're seeing. I was standing at the foot of the bed, Joyce. We had known Joyce a long time. At this point, she's Joyce Wilson. She was Joyce Hamilton before her husband died. That hard-hearted, wicked man who had put his cigarettes out on her arms eventually surrendered to Christ before he died. That was awesome. Joyce, I'm standing at the foot of the bed, and Joyce is saying, Pastor, help Jim understand what's going on right now. Jim's a big boy. I mean, he was one of those military guys that do all the secret stuff, you know. And I always told him, Jim, you know, I'm so glad you love me because you could squash me like a bug. You're a big boy. And Jim always told me, don't sneak up on me because I still have a little bit of my training still in me. Jim's standing there, and Joyce is saying, Pastor, tell Jim what's going on. And I'm like, he's not a guy that I, you know, can just tell what's going on. And I said, Joyce, why don't you tell him what's going on? I've been trying to tell him that I'm still here, but I'm not here. I'm already in heaven, but I'm still here too. I'm seeing you, but you're getting really fuzzy to me, but I am seeing heaven. I am in the presence of God. And Jim is like, you can't be in two places at the same time. And Joy said, but I am. I still have one foot on earth and the other is already in glory. Often, as people are getting close to home, I'll pray that way. Father, open their eyes so they can see where they're going and they're not distracted by where they're leaving. I wonder if some of us need to pray that kind of a prayer about where we are in our own life today and say, God, I pray that you'd give me vision for where I'm going so I'm not distracted by where I am or where I've been. Don't be afraid. They're more with us than be with them. Then Elisha prayed. Wow, it's time to quit. Open their eyes, let them see the Lord. Open the servant's eyes. And when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with a different group of horses. These are heaven's horses. And chariots of fire. As the Aramean army advanced toward them, Elisha prayed, O Lord, please make them blind. And the Lord did as Elisha asked. Then Elisha went out, they're all blind, and told them, you've come the wrong way. Come with me. This isn't the right city. Follow me. I will take you to the man you're looking for. And he led them to Samaria, led them to where they're totally surrounded by the king's troops, the king of Israel. When the king of Israel saw them, verse 21, he shouted to Elisha, my father, should I kill them? Of course not. Elisha told him, do we kill prisoners of war? And look at what he does. He says, give them food and drink, send them home again to their master. So the king made a great feast for them and sent them home to their king. And after that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Pretty good conclusion, isn't it? Hope, it's an expectation and anticipation that resists fear and unbelief, but it rests in what we believe. For the Christian, hope can be literally all that we have learned about God and so much more. To the Christians who have experienced God in the past in every area of our life, hope is all of that that comes alongside of us to testify to the veracity of God's promises to us, testifies to His love as enduring, consistent mercy and grace that's upon us, His faithfulness, His strength, His power. And all of that gets applied to the circumstance in every place that we find ourselves. In fact, I put it down this way. To me, the hope is God's presence, God's anointing, the authority of His Word that takes charge of every past, present, and approaching situation and season in my life. That's the way I see hope in God, where God is just sovereign over it all. Well, Romans, it talks about, may the God of hope. Did you know that God is a God of hope? He's a God of hope. May the God of hope fill you. You can get that. Take it. I take it. With all joy and peace. In believing, so you abound. This is the God of hope that's going to fill you with joy and peace as you exercise your faith, so that you abound in hope. By what power? The power of the Holy Spirit. The anointing, it does indeed break the yoke. Hope, it's a hope we must be established. It must be established by the Word of God. Hope to the Christian is a person. It's not a feeling. It's a reality. It's God Himself. It's the Word speaking. The Word we're speaking is alive. Jesus spoke. He is the Word. We speak the Word. We are speaking Jesus to the situations that we're in. That is hope. Hope also, it's not only established on a solid foundation, it is convincing, it is sustaining, it is encouraging, it is uplifting. What do you want to put in there? Hope is at work in us to restore every fractured, failing area of our faith. Hope is there to sustain us in that process. Yes, it must be activated. Active faith, living hope, is more than just saying, I believe God can, but it's actually, church was praying for rain in their nation. They had had droughts. Their crops were dying. They were going to have a prayer meeting for rain. And this little girl, as her family's leaving, said, Mom, don't we need to take the umbrella? And I think sometimes our kids, they hear us and they look to see if we're going to get out of the boat. Are we going to practice what we speak? And the answer is yes. We will practice what we speak. Yes, biblical hope, true hope, operative hope in us. It's action. It's applied faith in action. When we had our thrift store, maybe God will let us have another one at some point. But God told me to put up on the wall, we have big letters on the wall of the thrift store, and the letters were compassion in action. And the compassion that Jesus had always was connected to some form of action, whether it was prayer or physical touch or miraculous intervention. Well, biblical hope has a permanence. It has an enduring, steadfast reality in our life. And this is something I found, that even if I don't feel right, I don't feel like I'm in faith, I don't feel like I'm in hope, my feelings, whatever's going on, whatever I see, I have found, even, I'm going to say something else, and I don't want to give you an excuse to be stupid, but I'll tell you, I've been stupid before in getting ahead of God and trying to do things my own way and trying to help God out. God, let me help you. And don't judge me too harshly. Abraham did that too. But there have been times when I got into the F-L-E-S-H, the flesh, trying to move things, and I found something out. I found that on every occasion where my heart was right, God protected me even in my foolishness. I think I've wibbled sometimes when I was supposed to be wobbling. And I think I've probably looked left when I should have been looking straight or maybe right. There's been some times I've been learning experiences and God didn't waste them. But I found out that as long as my heart is surrendered fully to God, as much as I know how to do it, and this is where you live, this is where I live. God doesn't expect me to have Brother Jeff's faith over here. Jeff's had his own walk. You and your wife, I've watched you guys serve God. I've watched you walk with God. Joanne, I've watched you trust and be full of faith when many would have given up and just said, put me in the ground. I've had enough of this. I've seen you stand. Jeff, I've seen you go in for your test when they're telling you, you got a problem here. But you kept going back. You kept praying. You called for partners to join you. And God's delivering you. I could go around the room and I could talk about many of you where the enemy would look at us and say, you're not so smart. You don't have so much faith. And I believe we should just say, whatever I need, God is giving me. Whatever I need for right now, God has already made provision. Whatever I need to see, whatever I need to understand, whatever I need to experience, whatever I need to know, God has already prepared me for right now. And if I take the next step, the steps of the righteous are what? Led of the Lord. If I take the next step in the Spirit, I can count on God taking care of all the stuff I don't understand.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349.